Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to Transformational Tuesday. I love that. I just love that. I had a friend of mine say that, hey, how's it going, Robin? It's a Transformational Tuesday. And I go, hey, I'm gonna grab that one. That's a good one. We have an exciting show tonight. We've got Dr. Angie's back with us again. Yay, Dr. Angie. And we've got a whole bunch of our callers scooting up to the table here. So, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie, he's doing okay. He's calling from Seattle here.
And it's a beautiful in Seattle. It's always beautiful in Seattle, but how's the weather going tonight?
Oh, it's nice. The sun finally came out, you know. It was about 60 degrees or so.
Sounds beautiful.
Can't beat it.
No, can't beat it at all. And, you know, go up there, get a cup of coffee, be checking out the Puget Sound. Life is good. There you go.
I'm drinking a cup of coffee as we speak.
There we go. All right. That's good. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight? Yes.
I am doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
How is it in beautiful San Diego?
You know, I heard that it was supposed to have a heat wave this week, and fortunately, it has not arrived yet.
Yes. I actually think our heat wave's coming next week. I was actually kind of looking at that. It seems like it's going to creep in at the end of the weekend, so that's okay. We have a cool 90, you know, 80 degrees hanging out. It kind of feels like spring is kind of waiting to hang out until we get the summer solstice going on there. So that's okay. And I am Robin Misevich here in Riverside, California, lovely Riverside, and one of our regular diners as well. So Dr. Angie had come back. We figured out it was about 6 weeks ago, and her first show is number 204 if you go to the transformation-cafe.com. And there's a lovely picture there of her and the great show that we did on that. And I am so excited to have her back because she's got some wonderful things she's going to be launching come July 1st. And Dr. Angie, how are you doing?
I am doing fabulous, Robin. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for her, and I'm excited for what we're doing on it. Now, Dr. Angie, she's a pediatrician, and she's also a licensed Davis facilitator. Can you tell people about what the Davis method is, just in case they haven't heard that first show?
Yeah, the Davis method is something that was developed by Ronald Davis, who himself is dyslexic and autistic, and he developed a technique for helping individuals with dyslexia, ADD, ADHD, and more currently autism to actually correct their perception. And so what it allows them to do is to jump in and out of that box, because they're these wonderful out-of-the-box thinkers. But when they are perceiving in that place where they're creating and where they are innovating, where they are inventing, that's brilliant. But it doesn't work well in the classic or traditional school system. So the program that he's developed allows them to perceive accurately what's going on in their environment in the moment. And with that, the information can come in accurately, so then they can bring the information out accurately.
Yeah, I love what you're if you go to renaissancemind.org, that's her website, and on the top of it says, Empowering Unique Thinkers, Nurturing the Seeds of Change. I just think that's so awesome. And there's just so many just powerful people that through history that have had the autism that, you know, it's out-of-the-box thinking just right from the get-go. We've got, you know, of course, everyone thinks of Einstein, things like that, Tom Cruise. We were talking on the last show about Henry Winkler, how he had had his different stuff on there. So do you want to name a couple other people that might surprise people?
Well, I think people know Thomas Edison, Leonardo da Vinci, Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Records and Virgin Airlines. He is self-proclaimed dyslexic and with ADD. And the thing that's important for people to understand is that these individuals have not been successful in their lives despite their thinking style. They are successful because of their thinking style. But it can cause difficulties and present them with obstacles in a traditional learning environment. And if we go down into autism and that portion of the spectrum, it can cause problems with social interaction as well. So we really strive to help individuals still continue to have their genius. So we're not medicating them, which shuts off that. It may allow them to focus, but can very commonly shut down that ability to use their imagination and think outside the box and come up with these multiple ways of problem solving. And if they're having social issues, we can also help them to first correct their perception and understand that they're an individual apart from others, where many autistic individuals don't really even know that they're separate from their environment or the individuals in their environment. So how can you begin to understand the social interactions if you don't even realize that you are an individual yourself? So with the autism program, the first thing we're helping them to do is to realize that they are an individual. And then from there, we can begin to help them build the regular or normal supposed life concepts that we build growing up from infancy.
Well, I heard a saying today that I thought was just so great to put to add to the show. It said that normal is only a setting on a washing machine.
and you hear people say normal is really overrated.
Oh, my
really
gosh.
Overrated.
Normal is basically, yeah, you're just paranoid and have all these worries about, you know, being able to fit in. And, I've always taught my daughters that. It's like, you know, when somebody says you're crazy or weird, just kind of consider that a compliment.
Yeah, you know.
Because it is. It's just showing you're trying to be authentic to yourself.
Yeah, there's the book The Four Agreements by Dr. Ruiz. And yes. I don't know if you've ever read that, but, you know, he talks about these societal agreements that we've all kind of silently agreed to. And they are these things that what classifies normal within our society. And I think especially in this day and age, we see these new kiddos coming into existence, these beautiful, beautiful new little light beings, and they just don't fit that old mold. And we're going to have to change something eventually here at the institutional level of how we are educating these individuals, because they don't fit into the old mold. You know, they do think outside the box. And we have some of these individuals that like to participate in what we would call passive rebellion. So these are the little kids that just don't do their homework because they said, this makes no sense for me to be doing this, so I choose not to. And then you have some of them that are more actively rebellious, right? Who are
right, exactly. Well, you know, and then there's part of me that loves them. Yay, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Being
and
adventurous,
I
yeah.
Yeah, I told my son in second grade, you know, I said, honey, you're a natural born leader, but no one's going to mm-hmm. follow you second grade.
Mm.
You know, you just, right?
Well, you know, they say that it's not the leader. Yeah, they say that it's not the leader. It's actually the person who will follow the leader that is actually more mm-hmm. important when it comes to leadership.
Mm,
you have to have somebody who's willing to step in and follow you to make you a leader. So I don't know. That's kind of an interesting talk. That's a whole different show. Okay.
That's a whole other talk. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole new different topic. So it was so great because I was just kind of chatting online with Angie, and I said, you know, what do you want to talk about? And she says finding the joy and balance in our everyday lives as parents, and she's got these mm-hmm. wonderful new manual and ebook that's going to be, like I said, launched on July 1st of 2014. So make sure we're dating ourselves here so people go and look on it after the show. And the first one you've got is called the Everyday Parent Fix-It Manual. You want to talk a little bit about that? That's going to be that sounds, you know, like all of us parents who have been parents are like, well, crap, how come I didn't have that when my kids were little? Hello? But anyway.
It's so funny that, you know, when I wrote the name of that, it's because, you know, we always hear that there's no manual that comes with raising children. And so this was the Everyday Parent Fix-It Manual, and it's actually going to have three stages. So stage one is repairing self. Stage three will be mm-hmm. repairing family. Stage two is repairing family, and stage three was repairing life. And what it's coming from is it's not something situational. You know, for the past 25 years, I have either been working as a clinical pediatrician. I have been a mom. Now I have three boys. I've been a mom for the past 20 years. I have been friend and mentor and help with parenting many other people's children, and then as a Davis facilitator for the past several years. So I have worked in parenting a long time, and what I realized when I was working in pediatrics was that every person that came in was different, and they were all looking for ways to feel better about this thing called parenting, because parenting is, in my estimation, the most difficult yet the most wonderful thing that we ever get to do in this lifetime. And so many of us find it so difficult because we think it should be this amazing, joyous, wonderful thing. You're floating on clouds, you know, you and your whole family and the whole Leave It to Beaver. And it's not necessarily always like that. But what I want parents to understand and what I found was that the number one thing that we have to do when it comes to parenting is to change ourselves. So happiness in our lives, regardless of what's going on, starts with self. And so when we become more aware of how we are perceiving our children, what labels are we putting on our children? What are we labeling as what is good, bad behavior? What are good, bad events? Are we filling their love tanks? Are we having our own love tanks filled? Once we understand how to navigate through a day ourselves, then we are no longer looking at what to do in a particular situation. So what I mean by that is that what I've developed is, doesn't have to do with a particular situation like, oh, you know, my son has ADD, it takes 5 hours to do homework, tell me what to do. Because there's a million different situations, because there's millions, if not billions, of different families, right? So what we need to know is, how do we find joy and peace? How do we find joy and balance in our everyday life, regardless of what the situation is? And this is something I developed through, you know, my son being diagnosed with dyslexia, my older son having major clinical depression, my father having pancreatic cancer, myself having diverticulitis and having 14 inches of colon removed, and being able to still find joy and learn from every experience that I've been blessed with navigating through, because it's all part of who I am. So being able to find joy and balance every day, pretty much regardless of the situation, I think is a gift. And I think it's easier to teach than people think.
That's what I say. Happiness is an inside job, right?
Exactly.
Happiness is an inside job. Well, and that's one of the, like, that's it. That's, you know, that's the one thing, you know, the meaning of life. Happiness is an inside job.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, show's over.
It starts with us, right? It starts with us.
And exactly.
And then from that point, then we can look outside of ourselves and say, okay, this little being, every time he walks in the room, what is the first thought that I have? I need to get myself in check. If it's not, oh, my gosh, I love this individual so much, I'm so excited in this moment to share this space, that I need to do something with my thinking before I can even venture toward helping him with some struggle he may be having in this moment, right? Mm-hmm. I have to be the best for myself, so I can be the best for him.
You know, and you know, I've worked all day long, and I'm tired, and I've got this being in front of me, and, you know, that in itself can be that challenge, you know, and reminding myself of the blessing that's in front of me when I'm like, I'm tired, I just want to go to bed, but yet I've got a four-year-old that, you know, he needs the care, you know, kind of thing. So it's like you're saying, it's that check. So with family, with level two, with stage two, what is that in looking like?
With that, it's been, how do we help with the dynamics within the family setting? So what that's going to look more like is that, okay, I know I've got myself in check for the best of my ability for this small 8 weeks I've been in this e-course, with every day practicing, every day getting better. Now let me look outside of myself and look to my children, look to my significant other, and find out, what is their love language? You know, we talk about the five love languages. So am I, to the best of my ability, helping to fill each of them up? Am I communicating? Am I setting an example? And are we talking about what maybe the values are within this family? And am I communicating well? Let me teach them how to communicate well by my own example. And that's a four-week e-course series. And the whole thing is going to be done by video. So it's a video series that has exercises and handouts with it, and it's on a week-to-week basis. So you don't get week two until you already have done week one. And so it'll roll out 1 week at a time.
Nice. So let's talk about the languages of love a little bit. So just in case people are not familiar with that, which, you know, depending on if you've done any kind of self-growth work, you kind of know what that is. I know does. But, you know, we've got probably some listeners who don't. So let's talk about that just for a second of that excellent book and how it's revolutionized the way people look at just people's needs on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think, you know, my husband and I found that book. We've been married 25 years now. And mm-hmm. we found that book. We're blessed to find it very early in our marriage. And the five love languages are just saying that how we perceive love is usually how we attempt to show love. And they've kind of broken it down into five different categories. And I'll try to remember off the top of my head. So one is gifts. So someone who perceives love by receiving gifts. Another one is quality time. So someone who perceives love by the time, quality time people spend with that individual. Another one is touch. Another one is words of affirmation. And the other one is acts of service. So and what people do for them. So the reason this is powerful is because I'll use me and my husband as an example. When I wanted to show my husband love and appreciation, I would say, sweetheart, I'm just so thankful for all you do for us. You know, you work hard. You are such a good dad. I just really appreciate it. And he would go, okay, Phoebe, that's nice. And then when he wanted to show me love, he'd say, sweetheart, I know, you know, you've been working a lot. Can I rub your feet? I'm like, no, not really. No, thanks. And so what we realize is that his love language is touch. So he perceives and receives love in the form of touch. And mine is words of affirmation. So what we know to this day is that when he's had a long day, I'll say, sweetheart, would you like me to rub your feet? And he go, oh, yes, please rub my feet. When I rub his feet, that fills his love tank. He feels loved and appreciated. For myself, he may still sometimes say, sweetie, can I rub your feet? And I'll say, honey, no, thank you. What's my love language? And he go, oh, dinner was really good. You know, I appreciate that you're working so hard putting this whole course together. So how we perceive love is very important. And so it was important for us to identify within our children their different love languages. Because you mm-hmm. could buy gifts all day to someone who is acts of service. And if you don't do something for them, they may not feel loved. Their love tank may be empty. Mm-hmm. And once you know that, you know how to love every significant other in your life. Powerful.
Mm-hmm. It's very powerful. And it's mm-hmm. the acts of observing someone else in their way that they're wanting to love you. So it's just all about being a witness to what's happening in your life. And that's very much, to me, that's being very much in the now. You know, the now moment of how am I interact with someone and what's going on with each other. So, okay. And then stage number three is life.
Is life. So that's how do we bring it all together? How do we bring everything mm-hmm. that we've learned? And the 8 weeks in stage one are by far the most important. If people only did stage one and did not do stage two or three, they would be well on their way to increasing their perceived happiness level on a scale of like 1 to 10. And in that stage one is where we look at things like presence, how do we perceive things, what is cause and effect. So, you know, that's how things happen as a result of something else. The power of gratitude, the power of forgiveness, life balance and what that means. And then also how do we care for ourselves? You know, are we loving and caring for ourselves so that we can be full so we can love others? And then, again, stage two, the family dynamic, how do we improve that? And then how do we all bring it together, ending up with, as an individual, and I don't know if this was true for you, Robin, as a mom and a spouse and, you know, dealing with different obstacles in just life, I began to lose who I was a little bit and what I felt my purpose and why I was here. And it's so important for us as parents, outside of being significant others and moms or dads, to be on our own path and our purpose. That's really important. And so in that last part, that's what we're going to end up with. It's starting
very
to
important.
Investigate that. Very, very
well,
important
you just,
because you can't be happy if you're not on your path, really.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, how much – and they totally get that. If you're in this place of passion and just excitement of what you're creating in your life, it wants them to be creating in their lives as well instead of, like, you're always looking to be satisfying and carrying them on a certain level. So, I definitely get that. So, and is this going to be something where with this Everyday Parenting for the Fix-It Manual, is it something that they go to the website and they're basically going to be is there like a fee or something like that for these different stages? Is that how it's going to work, or how are you going to be offering that?
Yeah, the way we're going to offer it is that when it launches on July 1st, when it becomes available, for the first 15 days, we're going to have it at a discounted or a lesser rate. So stage one by itself is an 8-week video series, again, with exercises and handouts that they will get delivered to their inbox, the email inbox, each week. They'll get new information, and they'll have access to it for life. And if they don't like it after 30 days of trying it, they'll get their full money back. They won't have access to the information anymore, but they'll get their full money back. And that's going to be $97. The start off for the first 15 days is going to be $97. In addition to that, they're going to get the free ebook, which is the 3 Simple Secrets Moms and Dads of Kids with Dyslexia, ADD, and ADHD, or Autism Know That Keep Them from Worrying About Their Child's Future. They're going to get my very first, ta-da, ebook. Very short, like 15-page ebook.
That's a big deal. Come on now, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. just for visiting the website, they can get that free. They don't have to buy anything to get that. That's just going to be my gift for them visiting the website. We're not giving the website out yet because it's not ready, but it will be by the 1st. And then on the 15th, the price is going to go up to $147 for stage one. If people want to buy the package, they know they want stage one, stage two, and stage three at the get-go, that's going to be discounted to, I think, it's like $247 for all three, which is actually a 16-week e-course, workbook and video series.
Okay, did a nap on that. That's exciting. So let's talk a little bit about the 3 Simple Secrets for Moms and Dads.
Well, that's a secret, Robin.
I love that you're calling
secret.
It secret.
No. You know, there's...
I know.
There
it's like, it's interesting that people go, ooh, what is that? What is that? Okay.
Exactly. See, if I tell you, it's all intrigued. But what I'll tell you is that back when I was... Okay, I'm a physician, right? I was type A, anal retentive, bordering on OCD type of personality. And so when my child was not doing well in school, my third one, when the other two had excelled, I had issues with that. Believe me, I was not who I am now by any means. I have grown so much in just my spirituality, my enlightenment, my awareness of self and what I know is important in life. But there were 3 things that I learned very quick, very early on, that helped me to know, you know what, my kid's going to be absolutely okay. And the very first one, I'll tell you the third secret, is that don't let society define your child. And your child needs to know that they are not their grades, their academic performance, how they interact with others. That's not what defines who they are as an individual. And it's imperative that the parent is the one at the forefront for advocating for their child so that the child does not feel defined by any arbitrary label that's been put on them. And so that first secret will tell you how to, some steps to go to implement in your own home and with the school so your child feels empowered.
Well, I think that's true of any kid. I mean, you know, every child wants to know that. Yeah, you know, it isn't necessarily dyslexic. So, you know, in thinking about that, with dyslexia or ADHD or autism, is there a certain, and I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking here off the top of my head, is there a certain kind of wanting attention? So that's maybe something that could trigger those aspects of their psyche that would be showing in the way that they're interacting in school and who they are as a person, something like that? If they're not, acknowledged.
As far as wanting positive attention versus negative attention?
Yeah, the fact that, you know, you've got parents that are really stuck in that whole thing about they're looking to society. They're looking to, you know, oh, my child has to be like this or that or whatever for me to feel like I'm okay. You know, it's more the way that you're feeling. Cause, you know, it's the kid that acts up or whatever and like, don't do that because they're going to look at me and think I'm a bad parent. You know what I mean?
I think it goes back to their own sense
of identity.
I think there is an aspect of that, and I think that probably holds true for quite a few people. I think there's also a subset of individuals who are just truly concerned about their child's future and how mm-hmm. can my child be successful if they're not successful within this institution that we call school? How can mm-hmm. my child be successful if he can't go to a play date and not bite some other child? So there is a subset of individuals who are just truly concerned, not about how it looks on them, but truly concerned about, is their child going to be able to function out in the world? Now, a lot of that concern is based on the societal agreements that we've all agreed to on conscious or subconscious levels about what right and wrong and what success looks like. So I'm thinking we need to begin to redefine what we say is success, if define it at all, because it can just look very individual to the person, correct? So we have the...
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say ultimately success really should be an individualized definition for yourself. It's not what society would say. Ultimately it's... it goes back to your, you know, the parenting fix-it thing. You know, it's a self level, it's a family level, it's a life level of having different levels of, you know, how I would define that for my, you know, just in my scope of me as a person.
Yes, and so I'm being careful about how we define success for someone else, even a child, right?
Yeah,
so I think
exactly.
As parents, we're really here to support and guide these little individuals to be whoever they were placed on this earth to be, not for who we would like them to be. I think so many of us as parents have this idea about this is what I would like for my child because this is what success looks like to me. And we push and push and push, and we end up pushing individuals into areas that they hate, or we end up putting up a divide between ourselves and our child because the child just says, listen, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. That's not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, it's even maybe not even just the family. It's not even just the parent. It's the family. You know,
no.
We've all been lawyers,
yeah.
So you need to be a lawyer, or you know what I mean.
Exactly.
It's the generational thing. You know, I think one of the worst things that I ever see is when, especially boys are named after their dads. You know,
mm-hmm.
like Richard Jr. or Richard III or whatever. It's to me, it's such a limiting thing that the kids automatically feel like they're pegged into something that when they don't even know who they are. You know, they've got this lineage now that's a part of their history just because they've taken on a certain level of name. You know?
Can I interrupt on that
sure,
one?
Sure, Gloria. Yeah, go ahead.
Toby's birth name, and I don't think that he has that as an issue. I think that it is that sort of issue comes from family culture. But
mm-hmm.
Toby's name is Tobias Nicholas John Watson Haslett III.
Wow, that's quite the name.
And you've met him. I mean,
yes.
He doesn't have that as an issue. And I don't think that the name, I think it's family culture and expectation that goes along with some of those names that sets the tone for the child and where they're going to see them.
I would agree. I think that it is, as parents, And I think you're right, Robin. It's not just what the parent is identifying as success, but what the family is doing. So I think as parents, we are not just supporting and guiding our kids through school. We're supporting them and guiding them through life, and we are their advocates in their early years. So they cannot fight for themselves in those early years, and I think that is what we need to do. So if we see someone identifying our child as something, it is our job to educate an individual into, well, that's not necessarily, that's not how we see him in our family. You wouldn't believe the amazing things that he can do. He may have a difficult time playing with another child, but if you have you ever seen this kid build Legos? He can build Legos like no other child. You know, what do they do special? What do they do well? Right? Because they go into school 6 to 8 hours a day and see all the things that they're not doing well. So we really have to be advocating so the world knows what they do well and that the individual child knows what they do well. As parents.
I remember a parenting book that I got when my kids were little, and one of the best advice I ever got out of it was catch a kid doing good.
Exactly.
You know,
catch
them in their excellence and say, oh, look at you. You know?
Yeah.
I do that with
and
my employees now. I'm like, wow, look at you. You did that really well.
Well, you know,
yeah,
and that also interrupts the cycle so that they start to look for that attention from the positive reinforcement of what they're doing correctly. When people focus on only the negative, then the children expect attention based on the negative.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, even
exactly.
illness. I mean, I know with one of my kids, I really, you know, I sat her down one day and I just said, you know, I want to spend time with you when we're feeling good, not when you're bad, and not when you're feeling okay. And you know, and that kid just she doesn't get sick anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a wake up call, like, oh, I don't have to be sick to get attention.
Exactly.
Right.
I tell parents for every one thing that you have to correct, let's say a behavior, what we consider a negative behavior, you need to find 5 positive things. If that means you have to do ticks in a book, you know, do 5 before you have to do a recorrect or give anything that you need to point out as, well, this is the behavior we'd like to see changed. Come in with 5 positive things. And the more difficult the behavior's been, the more you have to find those places to praise. And not for silly stuff. You don't just make stuff up. But you can really catch kids doing and behaving good. And when they do,
well, I think
we need to comment on that.
And if we did that with everybody, if we modeled that with everybody, talk to everybody like that, imagine how things would change so quickly. It's not even just a matter of how we're speaking to our children. It's how do we speak to one another.
And that can also provide quality time. So that when you sit down, you can brainstorm it together and you can write and teach your children to write early on and write a journal so it's in writing. And you can go back and you can say, every night you can go over the things that you talked about days and days and days ago where they did.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well, it's
great.
That journal of gratitude, you know. I write 5 things I'm grateful for every day. You know,
yes.
I write 5 things that I appreciate about you every day. Imagine if you did that with your kids where, you know, once a week you sat down with them and you wrote down 5 things that you just really appreciated about them that week. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I mean, that alone would be, you know, the kid can go and look at it every week and just say, my mom thought I was great about this and this and this and this. And, you know, and he says you can't repeat them because, I mean, if it's that good, why not be in a place of praising it and stuff like that? So that's such a gift right there.
And if you get to a point where you're going through emotional tough love, especially around the age of 4 or 5, when they start to look at their identities of who they are in the world and putting it into perspective with the family as well, that will help to reinforce their self-esteem. And so you could even do that every night.
Mm-hmm.
I think family times of gratitude are very powerful. I mean, we're talking about working with empowering the family as a unit. Family time of gratitude is wonderful, whether it's once a day, whether it's once a week, where the whole family sits down and just professes what they are grateful for, whether it's family things or something outside of family, doesn't matter.
That's one of the reasons I love Thanksgiving. Because, I mean, it's not about gifts. It's about sitting with one another, having this wonderful meal, and just really looking at one another and seeing what we're grateful for.
Yeah.
And, you know, like just like you're saying, if we did that once, you know, once a week we got together and we went around the table and said there's something that we're grateful for each person at that table, how full a life that would be, how full a family that would be, because you're really expressing on a level of those warm fuzzies that you just don't say to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's good dessert right there.
Forward.
That's the best dessert.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
and that also
whatever fills you up on a soul level. That's the soul dessert. Hey, there we go.
Yeah.
little soul dessert.
Soul pancake. Yeah.
Soul pancake. I don't know. Like a big chocolate cake with a good, with a nice filling inside for me. That's
what
that is.
That also, Robin, what you just said, that also helps to open up the idea of family dialogue so that children are not afraid to talk to the parents, and the parents are able to start expressing, when you talk about gratitude, they're able to express their feelings in a non-threatening way.
Yeah. Well,
and children need to have a voice in the family.
Right?
You
absolutely.
Know, you know, the thing about children not being heard needs to be tossed out. So children need to have a voice within the family. They've got good ideas. It's part of their lives, and they can start very early on contributing to family values and dynamics. And it's empowering
and
to them, and then they feel respected.
And imagine that they come up with this great idea and it winds up really being this dynamic thing that just, whether it's a vacation or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that manifests into the family, and it just winds up being this wonderful experience, and they were the seed of that kind of dynamic that just turns into something really wonderful for everybody to enjoy and experience. Another aspect of that I'm just thinking is when you come from that level where the kids are being, you know, that it's safe to share, they could take that back to their friends at school. And have it be something that just gets seeded into the schools as well, where these kids can just say, this is how I appreciate you. Can you imagine kids going around appreciating each other? We wouldn't have all this, bullying going on. You know, it would totally change the way that kids are looking at one another. It's not a matter of picking on kids. It's a matter of being able, because really that's what they're wanting. They're wanting to be appreciated.
Until they get older and realize about neurolinguistic programming.
And you know, a lot of those kids are being bullied at home by adults and older siblings. And so, you know, if they are shown love and compassion by other people at school, maybe they can bring that into their own identity. I think, you know, all the stuff that we're talking about, and we're talking about it in the form of parenting, but it really just goes back to the basics of what we know, right? Power of presence and the power of how we perceive and gratitude and forgiveness. It's all the same stuff that we need to incorporate into our own identities, right? Starting with self, improving ourselves, and then we can bring that back into our family. What I've created is just under the umbrella of parenting. That's it. So people will read possibly what I've written maybe before they go into something as deep as Eckhart Tolle or Wayne Dyer or someone like that, and they'll hear it first on this level. And then as they begin to hear these concepts on this level, they'll begin to hopefully begin to search a little bit deeper and go into some deeper study. And as we do that, if we can begin to have that kind of like the pebble in the pond and rippling out, it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's the way we can help everyone become more aware and more enlightened. And as parents begin to take on these characteristics and pass them down to their children, now those children are doing the same thing with their children. And we have everyone just becoming more and more aware. It can only get better.
Yeah, and I think just coming from this place of coming from I'm vulnerable and I'm authentic from my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, that's what we're talking about. Coming from that place, which is,
and
I'm being really real with you right now, and we're not afraid of being able to express on such a soul and a heart level.
Yeah, and
that's
really
what everybody
the
wants.
The bottom line, it's all love, right? I mean,
exactly.
That's what's at the bottom, at the foundation of all of this.
Yeah, and being being in a place of peace with one another because we're safe.
Yeah.
I can be safe with you, and it's peaceful for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because ultimately, I think that's
beautiful.
The ultimate love when it's doesn't have any kind of duality levels with it. It's just total love of acceptance for who you are and adoring you because you're just you.
Right. I mean, so truly practicing unconditional love, because I think many of us, many times, and I'm guilty of it too, we don't necessarily practice that with our children, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're so bothered because they're behaving a certain way, and so we're having a very difficult time connecting with them in that moment, right?
Mm-hmm. So well, I feel like when I do that, it's my mom or my dad flying out of my mouth. I said something my mom would have said to me. I'm like, oh, my God, that was my mother.
Yeah, right? Right.
What the heck?
Well, isn't it good that you're aware? Isn't it good that you're aware? And then, you know, to be the bigger person and be able to go back to your child and go, you know, I shouldn't have said this. I'm so sorry.
I'm
really
scared.
Sorry.
Or, yeah, I was scared. Mm-hmm. I was frightened.
Forgive me.
That's not what I meant to say. You know, I was just caught up in the moment and I was afraid. And to say you're afraid or you're wrong to a child is such a gift. I learned that
really early,
to tell kids, I'm wrong. I was wrong to do that. I'm wrong that I did that for you. Or to you, and they look at me like, what? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that wasn't what I wanted to do, and I got caught up in the moment. And so it's such a gift to show that you can be vulnerable. That's being vulnerable and real at a certain level. You know, I'm just a person just like you and trying to figure it out when it comes to all that kind of stuff. Okay, well, you know, hey, 30 minutes go so super fast. Just remind everybody of Dr. Angie's wonderful offering she's going to be having starting July 1st at Renaissance Mind. It's going to be the Everyday Parenting Fix-It Manual with the three different stages. And again, to remind you, when till the 15th of July, there's going to be the discounted offer that will be out there. And her free ebook, Three Simple Secrets for Mom and Dads of Children with Dyslexia, ADHD, or Autism. And I love that you talk about, you know, parenting from a place of awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness for that, because knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is just the gift and the wisdom of being able to be in that place and be in that knowing and understanding it at a deeper level. So thank you, Dr. Angie. You're just so awesome.
Thank you,
have you as a friend and have you just doing this kind of work, and I'm excited to see where it's going to go and to be a part of that. And it's just always wonderful. And have you come back and see how things are going once you get it going? I'm sure there's going to be some wonderful stories of things of people once they start working with the work that we'll have some things out there.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. And if anybody wants to go to renaissancemind.org and get on the mailing list there, then those would be the people who first get the information out when it launches on the 1st. So they can actually sign up for the email list now. Yeah, they can just get on the regular email list there. And then, you know, July 1st, it'll be launching out.
Okay, great. And just to remind everybody with Flowers for You, with my Flowerful Living for the Health of It, if you go to the meetup, I'm going to be starting my spiritual practice with journaling. And it's going to be journaling with flowers, tapping into the soul. It's a wonderful incubation workshop that I'm going to be doing for 6 weeks this summer. So if anybody wants to learn about that, a local contact number for me will be 951-689-2711. And again, that's Flowers for You. So with Robin Misevich. So you can be tapping into that and working with some flowers as a part of the way of being able to tap into your own sense of your soul and helping you to move forward with different things. So I look forward to that. So thank you, Gloria. Thank you, Dr. Angie.
Thank you. And I will see you there at the Journaling for Flowers.
Okay. And we'll see you guys next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.